In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Sir, give us this bread always. We continue today in the second week of what is a five-week journey through the sixth chapter of John. Last week, the offerings of a small boy's mere five loaves and two fishes miraculously transformed into a feast for 5,000. Jesus sets us up today to find large-scale wonders amidst the simplest of offered gifts. And in today's gospel, Jesus and his disciples have packed up and moved on from the site of the feast to continue their ministry. Now, when the 5,000 feasters realize this, they go looking for Jesus. And once they find Jesus, he challenges them. He says, you're not here because of anything you believe or even because of the miracle. You came for the free food. They're still hungry. Eugene Peterson's paraphrase of what Jesus says next goes like this. Don't waste your energy striving for perishable food like that. Work for the food that sticks with you. Food that nourishes your lasting life. Food the Son of Man provides. He and what he does are guaranteed by God the Father to last. I wonder sometimes what exactly we're looking for, what you and I are looking for when we are hungry for meaning and purpose in our lives. Have you ever eaten a fast food, supersized meal on the run, only to be hungry a couple of hours later? When we consume empty calories, our bodies are able to use the food for energy, but then the food only provides just the junk, not the nutrients and the minerals it needs to keep us strong and healthy. Well, I think there are a lot of empty calories when it comes to what our culture says will fill us up. Reverend Olivia alluded to the commercials that convince all of us of the things we need to buy in order to be satisfied last week in her sermon. Our culture of competition, I think, has convinced us that to be truly fulfilled, we need to win. I headed into my freshman year of high school when I watched Carrie Strug push through two torn ligaments and a sprained ankle to win gold at the 1996 Olympics. I remember so clearly being with my best girlfriends, the glory of the Magnificent Seven, how proud we were to be Americans that summer. I also have that image burned in my brain of Carrie's coach carrying her while she sported a large leg brace, waving to the crowd. She'd pushed through her pain to win the prize. It may be true that Carrie Strug wanted to push through that injury, but since the last Olympics, we've also learned more about the culture of winning at all costs, even at the cost of mental or physical health. Byron Heath is a children's learning specialist in Idaho. He was young, too, when Carrie Strug won the gold, and he decided this past week he'd watch old footage of Carrie Strug with his daughters, who are gymnasts. He writes, yesterday I was excited to show my daughters Carrie Strug's famous one-leg vault. It was a defining Olympic moment. I watched live as a kid, and my girls watched raptly as Strug fell and then limped back to limp leap again. But for some reason, I wasn't as inspired watching it this time. In fact, I felt a little sick. Maybe being a father and a teacher has made me soft. But all I could see was how Carrie Strug looked at her coach. Bella Caroli, with pleading, terrified eyes. Well, he shouted back, "You can do it! You can do it!" over and over again. My daughters didn't cheer when Strug landed her second vault. Instead, they frowned in concern as she collapsed in agony and frantic tears. "Why did she jump again if she was hurt?" one of my girls asked. I made some inane reply about the heart of a champion or Olympic spirit, but in the back of my mind, a thought was festering. She shouldn't have jumped again. The more the thought echoed, the stronger my realization became. Coach Caroli should have gotten his visibly injured athlete medical help immediately. Now that I have two young daughters in gymnastics, I expect their safety to be the coach's number one priority. Instead, Bella Caroli told Strug to vault again. And he got what he wanted, a gold medal. That was more important to him, seemingly, than his athlete's health. A teenager under those conditions should have been protected, Byron writes, and told no medal is worth the risk of permanent injury. In fact, we now know Strug's vault wasn't even necessary to clinch the gold. The U.S. already had an insurmountable lead. Nevertheless, Bella Caroli told her to vault again. According to his own recounting of their conversation, "I can't feel my legs," Strug told Caroli. "We got to go one more time," Caroli said. "Shake it out." Do I have to do this again?" Strug asked. Can you? Caroli wanted to know. "I don't know yet," said Strug. "I will do it. I will. The world was stunned this past week as Simone Biles, whose perfect gymnastics routine was actually necessary this time to achieve the gold for the 2021 Team USA. And she unexpectedly withdrew from competition. She said, quote, "It's been really stressful, this Olympic Games. And I think we're just a little bit too stressed out. But we should be out here having fun. And sometimes that's not the case." And now just later, many are responding. You might have had a response, or maybe a few. Some bemoaning her quitting because she was so close. Her failure to win. And others who've lauded her deep belief in the love of the sport, her respect for herself, her body, and her mind. Saint Thérèse of Lisieux devoted her life to God at a young age. She overcame sickness, she overcame the death of her own mother, and Thérèse was granted entrance into a cloistered monastery at the age of 15. She had that hunger for greatness. You can still read her prayer to God. You can look it up on the internet now. In her journal, she wrote, "I feel within me other vocations. I feel the vocation of the warrior, the priest, the apostle, the doctor, the martyr. I feel and need the desire of carrying out the most heroic deeds for you, God." Perhaps you can understand how she feels, how Simone Biles might have felt this week, craving the greatness that was possible in front of her, while also pressed by life's limitations. As Pastor Sean Palmer writes, it wasn't long after giving voice to her disillusionments that Thérèse read St. Paul's encouragement to the Christians in Corinth during the first century CE. "Each believer has received a gift that manifests the Spirit's power and presence. When Therese read this, she went back to her journal and wrote, "I finally had rest. I understood that the church had a heart, and that this heart is burning with love. My vocation is love." Therese believed that her job was to love, even at a great sacrifice to herself. She decided that love meant taking jobs inside the convent that no one wanted. She did the laundry, cleaned the kitchen, the bathrooms, the messes of other people. She ate the leftovers and food no one wanted. When Therese's older sister was made prioress of the convent, just before Therese was supposed to leave her novice stage and become a full nun, because the other nuns feared the politics of it all, Therese's sister asked her to stay a novice for life, which she did. Therese of Lisieux was considered by Pope Pius X as the greatest saint of modern times. She released the dreams of being honored and sensational, to be God's heart, to be love. Her approach to life is called the little way, and has given life to the work of other world-changing leaders, including Dorothy Day and Mother Teresa of Calcutta. Which brings us back to the bread and the difference between the food that perishes and the food that endures for eternal life. Every week I do the shopping at the grocery store, and this week I noticed the wall of bread being prompted by the gospel. Not just simple loaves, not just five, but profusive options meant to temporarily feed us from day to day. Whole wheat, white, rye, sugar-free, gluten-free, carb-conscious, and all in an appealing collection for our consumption. And then today we come to this table here with a small host the size of a quarter that stands in stark contrast to the bread of this world. As we receive the host today, still in COVID-tide, still refraining from even sharing the common cup, may we be recalled to the little way, the way that leads us to confident, fearless love, actions of being Jesus' hands and heart in a world that is hungry to be truly fed. May we go and feed others as we are fed, not the empty calories of vanity and fleeting success, but the rich food of simple acts of love and care for others and oneself. It simply requires believing that God has given you a gift. And it may or may not be the gift that the world demands of you. May it be so. May the bread of life come down from heaven and give life to the world. Amen.